our series on running the race of life. And so if you've missed out on the series, you can just go to the website, ChandlerLife.org, click on the media tab and listen to the podcast, and hopefully it makes you run faster on the treadmill, drive a little slower when you're out on the streets. But anyways, you can catch yourself up, and hopefully it helps you out. So one of the big things when we talk about running our race in life is sometimes as we look at our life journey and see what's in front of us, and if you have big dreams and all of that, sometimes it could feel almost overwhelming. And we've talked in the past about sometimes because there's so many options that we have in life that it can even become challenging to even begin the journey, to even begin the race of life. And so we got to make sure that in that process, as we're dreaming, as we're laying out our life's goals, as we see the future as what we want to have for our lives and for our family, that we're making sure that we involve God through every part of that process. And I know that's something that sounds great in church, but when we get outside of these walls, I think for a lot of us, probably depending on how you're raised, the thing that we want to do is try to sort it all out in our head first, plan every single step of the way, and then when those things don't line up, we're mad about it. That's me, right? Like, I had a plan. This is what we were doing, right? It's before you leave for the road trip for the family. We said we were leaving at 7 a.m. We put the kids to bed. 7 a.m. rolls by, and you're like, come on, guys. Like, what? We talked about this. Where are your shoes? And I can't find my shoes. And the kids are falling apart. Your wife disappeared. Your husband vanished. I don't know. Whoever it is that's the one that's chronically late. There's usually at least one in the family. If it's both of you, you never get anywhere. You never get anywhere. But we got to make sure that when we're running the race of life, when we have the journey in front of us, that we don't get so frustrated when things start to appear as they're impossible. Not only that, we can't judge our journey and our race based off the results other people are having doing the exact same thing we're doing. Let me explain it to you this way. I've run across people before that they just get a different result than me when it comes to obeying the law. Now, I'm not a big rule follower. I like going through the exit because it's a door. I shouldn't have to walk around the building. It's a door. I go through it. I don't care if you label an exit. It's going to work out fine. So I'm not a big rule follower. But I will tell you this. I don't get away with anything when it comes to speeding, right? Nothing. Now, I've ridden with some of you. I've ridden with some of you, and you drive like psychopaths. And every day after riding with you, I pray for you that God would spare your life on these roads out there because you drive insane. You speed everywhere you go. That doesn't work for me, right? I go like 6 miles over. The police is there. They don't even pull you over in Arizona for anything. This guy gets pulled over, okay? I don't get away with any of that stuff. Some of you, your tabs have been expired for 6 months and no one cared. Mine goes one day over. It's like, oh, it's June, sir. That's going to cost you $75. Man, here's what can happen, right? I can look at maybe your ability to get away with something and be frustrated and have an attitude. And how come you can speed and go 1,000 miles an hour down the 101? And how come I go into the new safety corridor and immediately get tagged for going just a little bit over? And here's the thing. I could be mad about it, but it doesn't change anything that's happening. And in fact, your journey and how you're doing on your journey isn't going to help or hinder how I'm doing on my journey. Now, that sounds really selfish because we do need each other. But the whole point of community is that we provoke one another to good works. But you can't run my race of life and I can't run your race of life. So all I'm doing is being angry about what happens in your life and not what's happening in my life. All it's doing is causing frustration and not helping me get where I need to go or where God is trying to take me. So I don't know why two people can do the exact same thing and produce two completely different results. I don't know why one person can start a business and it flourish, and another person do all the same things and it tank and fall on its face. I have no idea why two people can do the same thing but produce two completely different results. And I tell you all this so that we need to understand something. It doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant. But it's what we focus on. We when our life isn't going the direction we want it to go, when things aren't looking up, or when things are maybe not the way that we want them to be, our tendency is to compare to somebody else whose life or race is going great, right? Who's doing well, who has what we want, who has the house, the car, the stuff, the friendships, the relationships, the jobs, the whatever. And we can look at that and go, how come that's not working in my life? And we have to understand that it's not about that at all. It's irrelevant how other people are doing in their race of life. It matters on how you're responding to life's adversity in your race. See, it's not about avoiding difficulties and issues. If you're trying to do that, throw in the towel on it, because life is simply filled with difficulties and challenges. It's why we have faith. It's why God called us to believe. It's why we're called to trust him. If things were always amazing, it wouldn't be very hard to trust him, would it? Wouldn't be very hard to have faith. When everything is great, we just don't want to rock the boat. But when challenges come our way, it's not about the challenges, it's about how we're responding to them. How do you respond in your running your race of life, as you do what you're supposed to be doing? How do you respond to life's difficulties and life's challenges? I was watching this news report a little while back, and it really illustrated this really well to me, because they interviewed two people from the same town. And it was one of those smaller Midwest towns, and the tornado had come through and had just wiped out like an entire block of houses. I mean, just completely annihilated everything. There was nothing left. And so they're interviewing this lady, and she is weeping and falling apart. And hey, I get it. Like, when you lose your stuff, it's a bummer, right? And they asked her, they're like, well, what did you lose? And she had lost I don't want to laugh at her, but she had lost her entire doll collection. She had been collecting these dolls for a really long time. If you collect dolls, good on you. I'm not laughing. Yes, I am. I'm laughing. Anyway, she collected all of these dolls, and she had all of these amazing, intricate dolls, and she had lost all of them. Everything was gone, and she's crying, and she's like just a mess and a bummer, and it's all horrible, and what is she going to do? And the insurance isn't going to help cover her dolls, and it's thousands of dollars. It's collector's items, all that stuff. You can imagine the interview and how it's going. And, the interviewer guy that's staring at her doesn't know what to say. This woman's weeping over dolls. Then they go to the next person. He talks to this lady and said, what did you lose? She's like, well, we lost our house, and it was, we lost everything that was inside of it, but thank God we're alive, and none of my kids are hurt, and we're still breathing, and none of these things are irreplaceable. They're just things. They don't matter. What really matters is my family is okay. Like, we made it through, and we don't know where we're going to live. We don't know where we're going to stay. We don't know how this is going to work out, but we're just so grateful. In fact, we are thanking God that we are alive. We're still on this, and it could have been so much worse. They lost everything, but she's saying it could have been so much worse. Two people, same town, same circumstance, same situation, two different responses. Who do you think's going to recover better? I'd imagine the person who's got the better outlook, the better thought about the situation, because they're not responding to how negative or angry at why did this thing happen to me. They're just recognizing this stuff happens, but I'm just grateful that I have something that I can look forward to, that my family's healthy, that things are okay. So I guess what I really want to ask you is, how do you respond to life circumstances and life situations when they don't go the way that you want them to go? And I know in here, in this room, and in this chair, you're like, great. But when traffic's bad, do you pound your steering wheel like I do often? Are you angry and yelling at nothing? Or do you have the attitude, or you're like super optimistic? You're like, thank God for the extra opportunity to be in my car. I was hoping to spend more time in prayer this morning. You don't do that at all. You're angry and frustrated. So I know that in this room right now, we're really spiritual. We all love Jesus so much. But I've seen you on those roads out there. I've seen you, in the workplace. We know when things don't go our way. Our response is not often the way that we want it to be while we're sitting here on Sunday morning. And so my challenge to you is that as you're going through life's difficulties, don't let those things shape your perspective. Don't let those things shift your attitude to a place that takes you weeks to come out of that funk. Just try to find a way to thank God for something great that's going on in your life. Because when we run the race of life, the one thing that we can guarantee is that we'll come across obstacles along the way. and I'm not a big fan of running, but I will say that in the race of life, it looks more like cross country and a whole lot less like a sprint, right? Those track people, they line up, they run in a straight line, or they're like NASCAR people. We just turn left. They just make a loop. That's it. I'm done for the day. But when you're running through cross country or you're running out in the woods, I haven't done that in a really long time, in a running period. But, you know, if you're out in those woods and you're running, you're taking corners, you're avoiding pitfalls and traps, you have to pay attention to what's going on. You can trip over something. You can fall down, right? You have to pay attention and look around, because that's what life is really more like. It's not this easy, simple, just turn left and run in a circle. Right? It's not. It's twists. It's turns. It's winding. And through all of that, we're having to trust God and believe that He's taking us down the path that we're supposed to be going. And I don't know if you've ever gone somewhere before that you've never been and weren't sure if you could trust your map. Has that ever happened to you? See, now we got like Siri who tells us everything. But even that, Google lies to us sometimes. Right? You're like, I know this is the way. And it's like, turn right. Get off the freeway. No, why would I get off the freeway here? And it takes you some bizarre way, and you just stay on the journey. You stay on the path because you know the map isn't correct. The computer glitched. So we've all had those moments to where what we thought was laid out so clear suddenly is not so clear. Well, how do you handle that situation? When things don't make sense and you're starting to question, God, are you even with me in this journey? Are you even with me in this process? Those are the moments that we have to cry out to God and trust Him that we are going to get where it is we're supposed to go. There's a story in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to paraphrase because we're not going to teach very long today, because we got the kids color run and food afterwards and all of that. It's going to be awesome because we're going to throw stuff at kids and not get in trouble for it. I'm really looking forward to that. But I want to paraphrase this to you. In Luke chapter 1, there's two people, same message, completely different responses to it, right? And so we have Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, the future father of John the Baptist. Now, here's what happens to him. He's a priest, right? He's supposed to be a godly man. He's supposed to know what's up. He's supposed to trust God. Now, the angel of the Lord, not just any angel, but Gabriel, right? Not like, that's like big time angel. In the hierarchy of angels, Gabriel is up there. Like, he's up there. He's one of the main ones. And, you know, he's not like a lesser angel. I don't know if there is a lesser angel, but, you know, this guy is like, he get his message. He's God's messenger. He shows up and he's like, hey, man, congratulations. I know you're older, but you're going to have a baby. And when you have this baby is going to pave the way for the Messiah. This guy is going to baptize people into the baptisms of repentance. He is going to pave the way. The Messiah that everybody's been waiting for thousands of years, that there's over 300 prophecies that you know about. Guess what? It's coming to pass in your lifetime. And not only is it coming to pass, your future son is going to have a major part in it. And you know what this guy did? He argued with the angel. Totally sane, right? First off, it's an angel. I'm trusting anything they say. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Giant angel creature from the heavenlies, what do you want me to do? No, he looks at it, the miracle is happening in front of him. He gets great news, and he's like, how can that even happen? He responds to God's blessing with his doubt. Just like you and I do. He responds to it with his doubt. He's like, that can't happen. And then the angel looks at him and says, not only is it going to happen, now you're not going to play a part in it, and I'm going to shut your mouth up. You're not going to talk for 5 months. That's rough. Like, that's rough. There wasn't much grace there at all, right? God's like, look, you don't get to talk anymore. And this guy, his wife was grateful, but nobody else. He lost his ability to speak. He couldn't talk anymore, right? So now he completely lost it. Now this is why this is important. This is a guy who should know better, who's a priest, who goes to the Lord regularly, who has interaction with him. He's one of the only ones that can go into the Holy of Holies area. This isn't like modern times where you and I, we are able to just cry out and pray to God and he answers. No, in those times before Jesus, the priest went to God for you. I'm grateful those days are over. You are grateful those days are over, because if you made me mad, I may not have been nice, about your petition to the Lord. Be like, God, if you kind of want to sort of answer this prayer, they're kind of a jerk. I guess you can, right? So you didn't have to worry about that now. But then that's what this guy did. He knows this is God. He responds with doubt. And we flip the story a little bit. Same angel shows up to Mary, the future mother of Jesus, right? Shows up, gives another message. And her message is even crazier. Right? Even crazier, like you're going to give birth to the Messiah. You, the future of this world, for thousands of years on, this is all about what's been prophesied. The Messiah is going to come, and it's going to be through you, and you are going to be the mother of God. Wow, okay. That sounds loony. And you know what she did? She looked up, and she's like, how can this be? And asked a question, not out of doubt, but out of pure curiosity. The angel answers it. She thanked God for it, rejoiced, and just chose to trust him. Same message, two different responses. See, guys, it's not about the problem that comes your way. It's not even about what God's called you to do. It's how you respond to it. Your attitude about that stuff is significant. Your attitude about things when life doesn't go your way 100% matters when it comes to the outcome that you're actually trying to produce. What would happen in your life if we would decide, rather than arguing with God, rather than doubting him regularly, I would just trust him when it feels like I have nothing to trust him for. It's all about in life calling God faithful when you feel like you don't have the faith. It's all about calling God good when your circumstance say he's abandoned you. It's all about saying that God is merciful when you're not feeling like his mercy is anywhere near you. It's all about saying his grace is sufficient for my hour of need when you don't feel his grace. Because this walk that we walk, this journey that you're called to, this race of life, it's a race of faith. And if you can believe God, if you can trust him in every circumstance, in every situation, eventually your goal is just to outlast the doubt. Because if you can outlast the doubt, God is faithful and he comes through. And sometimes he comes through in a way you didn't expect. And sometimes his answer or lack of answer you were mad about before and later on you're grateful for. Now being older, I thank God for some unanswered prayers. I was mad about those prayers. I was ticked about him. Where you at, God? I've been praying for this for so long. And now I look back, I'm like, thank you, God, for not answering that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you didn't have that. Thank you didn't come through on that house that I had to have in that moment. And 6 months later, the economy crashed, and I would have been $150,000 in the hole on the home. Thank you for not answering my prayer. I wanted that car really bad, but now, God, I'm so grateful. I don't have that car payment. I don't have that whatever. There are moments where we cry out, we're praying for God, but then in that moment, he doesn't answer that prayer, and you're mad about it. But if you can outlast the doubt, eventually, I promise, you'll be grateful. You'll look back, and I'm talking about normal life things, not ultra tragedy. But we'll look back and we'll see those things and we'll say, God, I know that you were in the not answering. I know that you were in the not answering. And that sounds really weird and bizarre, but it's just the reality of life. There are moments to where we're crying out and asking for something, but God sees the end from the beginning and he knows what it's going to create and produce. And if you can just outlast your doubt and choose to trust him in those moments, later on, not only will you be glad, you will be grateful and you will thank him for it. Man, all the girls I prayed, God, this is the one. This is the one for me. I know this is the girl from, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I never proposed to that one. Thank you, Jesus. That one broke apart like, woo. And then at the moment I felt abandoned and frustrated and what is going on and what's wrong with me. And now I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that you for unanswered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayer. Our goal, our job as Christians is to try to keep our attitude up, our spirit up, and maintain an untroubled heart in a troubled world. And if we can do that, the majority of the time, we're winning in this life. You're not going to hit the ball out of the park every time. I don't like baseball at all, but the one thing that I appreciate about the game of baseball is that it's a grind, right? And if your goal is just getting on base, if you're trying to hit home runs every time, you strike out a lot. I mean, you strike out a lot anyways. But if you are trying to get on base every time, you're swinging, you're trying, you're working really hard, you know what? That consistency goes away. The game of baseball, like I said, I don't even like the sport. But what I love about it is it rewards consistency. And we need to have that attitude when it comes to our life. What can I do consistently? What is the abundance of my heart? What comes out most of the time? You see, as Christians, what we do is we beat ourselves up for the not most of the time, the little bit. The majority of the time, you feel blessed. You feel like God's got your back. And then for just a moment, you feel like he doesn't. And what happens to your religious house of cards? It comes tumbling down. Because we put our faith on answered prayers. And that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity, the journey of life, is not about unanswered or answered prayers. It's about faith in God, trusting and believing that he has you, that he's got your back, and that if that prayer didn't get answered, it's going to be a positive thing down the road. Let's be the kind of people that don't throw in the towel on our Christian walk, on our relationship with Jesus because things are tough, but rather let those things draw us closer to him. Sometimes the path of life, the journey of life, isn't as straight as we want it to be. Sometimes it's twists and it's turns, but you can trust him in between. You can trust him in between. You know, there's some amazing stories in the Bible, and a lot of them turn out great with Jesus, right? You read about it and you see, wow, that turned out so well. Man, that was amazing for them. But what we don't see is the entire process that person walked through. We don't see, like, when Jesus goes to the pool and the Bible says that the waters would be stirred and whoever could throw themselves, that would be a weird-looking scene, right? People who are hurting and broken, like, rolling themselves into pools. Hopefully they all could swim. I don't know. But it would have been a really bizarre scene. We don't know about the despair that was probably in that place, the frustration that was in that place, and the fact that Jesus walks in, talks to a guy who doesn't even know who he is, and says, hey, roll up your bed and just go. You can go. We go, wow, amazing. That guy got healed. But we don't know what that man's story is. We don't know how long he'd been lame, how long he'd been hurt, the financial battles that he fought, the frustration, the things that probably took years to come to a close. And in a moment, all we see is this small little victory to where his life is completely changed. Listen, guys, the process of getting to the miracle you're praying for, sometimes it's lengthy. Sometimes it's long. And you have to learn to trust God from point A to point B, and that when you're on the way from point A to point B, then the map doesn't line up with your plan. It doesn't look like you're going where you think you're supposed to be going, that you don't throw in the towel on it and just say, man, God never had this. He never had my back. But you begin to trust him and believe him and let your life outlast the doubts that can often plague us. Consistency matters when it comes to running your race. Father, I pray for every single person that's here this morning. I ask that you would work in their heart. I pray, God, that you would continue to speak to them, that you would work in their life. And Lord, for any of us that are here that are just dealing with life struggles and difficulties, God, I pray that you would just begin to reach us right where we are. Lord, that you would bring healing to our heart. And God, we ask that we wouldn't grow weary in well-doing, but in due season, we would reap a harvest. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers are coming down the road. They're going to be passing envelopes and cards. And
the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. You're